This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, I mean, this... the nature of our game. You know, I think that you're always building depth and you're always dealing with injuries, and you know, you always hope it's, you know, not one of your best players, best pitchers, but that's what happens. And you know, hopefully we can figure out when we can get him back and get him back healthy, but we just got to step up. No one's gonna pause for us.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That, of course, the voice of Jed Hoyer. And he's right. That's baseball. That's how
nobody's pausing for the Cubs.
No chance.
Four-game lead in the Central doesn't matter.
No.
Don't compare yourself to the Reds or the Brewers. Not this year. Not yet. I think that obviously those teams are ones you feel like you should be better than. But when you're evaluating what to do long-term and what this season should be about, it should be about more than just winning the division. You should think bigger than that.
Yeah, but I don't think you start by doing that. I think right now what you do is you try to win every series, and that means winning on a daily basis, and that means getting into the grind. And you need grinders. You need people that can eat innings for you. That's what you're kind of after right now. It would be great if Cade Horton came up and was – dealing and moved right into the rotation, and it was all kind of seashells and balloons. I'm just not sure that's the way that it's going to work. It could work that way.
Well, that's the big decision.
But how many of those bullets does he have? And it's May 6th.
It's May 6th.
Do you want to wait and bring him up in June or July and try to get through to August and then Craigtober?
It's a tricky decision and a complicated one. It's a good discussion.
Yep.
Around Wrigley Field, in the offices and outside of Wrigley, among Cubs fans. And Jed said that basically it is difficult because of what Cade Horton has shown so far this season.
I think he's continuing to get better from start to start, and he's been consistently good down there. He's sort of built off a good spring training, but his last couple starts were better than the first couple starts down there. He's been going six innings and throwing well, so he's done his part in AAA, certainly throwing the ball well.
Yeah, he's 2-1 with a 1.24 ERA, 29 innings pitched, 33 strikeouts. Come on, six starts. Come on. I'm just saying. He's very good. He's living up to his hype. He's definitely somebody who has made this a difficult decision, because the risk-reward calculus is interesting because of who he is in the long term, big picture for the Chicago Cubs. But I also think that we tend to overthink this. And I do think that if we look at, if there's anything about him that you're worried about the moment being too big for him, then I think it's the wrong conversation. That shouldn't be the case.
Yeah, I don't think it's the case. I just think you're trying to find the perfect spot for the guy. And maybe that's starting at home against the White Sox. I'm not joking. I'm just saying. It'd be like similar level of competition that he's facing right now in
Iowa.
That's
like in 2 weeks.
It's
like in 10 days.
We're looking for, you know, you can fill one start against the Mets.
He need not be coddled.
You're looking for patching.
He need not be pampered. You want to put him in swaddling clothes and caress him and Cade. This is great, Cade.
Why do I become so creepy? Why are you making him a baby? And why do I have
I'm just saying, don't coddle the kid. He's 23 years old. He's 3 months older than Caleb Williams.
I have a 23-year-old.
I know.
And you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to go back to those days of coddling.
Oh. All right. Well, back to baseball, Dad. I think when you talk about the risk-reward calculus and what the Cubs should do or not do, obviously one of the things that we think they will need before the deadline is a starting pitcher. Whether it's Cade Horton or not, it's a little early for the trades to be happening or even to be discussed or rumored. But Jed Hoyer addressed this on Monday about what he would be looking for when the pitchers are headed to the market.
You just sort of expect you're going to need all your depth. And I think that when you have moments of relative health, just realizing that it can be fleeting and, you know, things happen. It's a major league season. We play every day. And we're going to have injuries. We're going to have to... All those guys are going to be pushed, and I mean, we talk about it in spring training over and over. They're guys that, you know, get sent out in the first wave of guys in spring training. They're going to have a huge impact. There are guys not in the organization that are going to have a big impact, and you just have to keep, you know, have the guys, the acquisition guys, can never stop looking for reinforcements, and in the minor leagues, you can never stop, you know, trying to push, you know, guys to optimize, because you're going to need a lot of guys to get through a major league season, and this. I guess it reinforces it, but I think we all kind of know it.
Jed Hoyer yesterday at Wrigley Field talking about the Cubs pitching situation, which has been compromised by injuries to Justin Steele, Javier Assad, and now Shota Imanaga, who is expected back. They said a couple weeks. We're saying June 1st. I think that with a hamstring injury, you never quite know.
No, you don't know. And he, as you keep pointing out correctly, he's never had this injury before, so you don't know a lot about it. You don't know how he heals, how quickly this will be done with, how he will come back. Does he need any kind of rehab stint?
He's going to have
to. Of course.
Right?
Yes.
Pitchers typically can't come off the shelf and just go back on a major league mound. You want to
be
deliberate. Yeah, after a month or so.
Right.
So before we get to the phone lines, it's interesting because of this conversation about what they're going to do with Cade Horton.
Yes.
We also have the backdrop of Matt Shaw being at Iowa and the third base position being still unresolved. I wonder which Iowa Cub is going to be in Chicago first, Matt Shaw or Cade Horton?
Cade Horton will be first.
You think so?
Yeah, he's up next. Hmm. He's the next guy back. When you heard Jed talking about Shaw, you know, I think they're hopeful and they want him back. I think they want that. I think there are certain things they'd like him to do so he can come back and kind of be more of a graceful kind of entree.
I think you're probably right.
Third base.
But it's worth remembering, and we talked about this briefly last hour, but I think when we talk about what Matt Shaw can benefit from in going back to Iowa and not losing hope, but gaining perspective, you look at being better for the struggle. Pete Crow Armstrong, May 20th of 2024, sent down. He was sent down.
I know.
And how disappointed to remember Dustin was. It was like, my prediction's not going to come to fruition. He thought that it was just going to be PCA and it was going to be a flash in the pan. He comes back after spending 10 days or so at Iowa, being the International League Player of the Week, taking advantage of the time in the minors, not dropping his head, not being deflated, and coming back and becoming and beginning the ascent to the player that he is now.
I think he's always been a very confident player. I think he's always been slightly overconfident, which I think is a good thing. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think you get this negative idea that, you know, you're a braggart or you're kind of puffy-chested, you do a show-off. All that stuff aside, he believed in himself.
Definitely.
And he improved. And he, you know, the thing that helped him, time.
Time.
That's it. Time. You know, you
sometimes you need it.
Yes. Sometimes you just need another year. And boy, is he going to be good after a year. And that's what happened with him.
I think the blue-haired kid's going to be special.
That blue-haired kid could probably pitch if he wanted to.
708 Texter. I don't disagree with David regarding the Cade Horton situation. However, once again, he does have a tendency to be very impatient and wants to see his shiny new toy in action. Just be patient and let them work it out the best way.
That's a listener that knows you. I think you do like a shiny new toy.
Thanks, Mom.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that either. Let's get to the phone lines. Start with Jeff. Jeff is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jeff. How are you, bud?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. For anybody that wasn't listening at the beginning of the show, we know that Mully is a fisherman because he threw out the line of skipper three times to David, and David did not bite on it.
he let it go. Yeah.
He did. I was surprised. I'm sure Dustin was cracking up, though. My real reason for calling is we got to get Tim Elko up here. And my reasoning is, I mean, just the stats alone, I don't care if Charlotte is a bandbox or not.
Right.
He's got 10 homers. He's got an OPS over 1,000. He's got WRC plus 172 right now. Andrew Vaughn's batting 176, giving you nothing. The guy's 26. You got to reward people for doing well and bring them up. But also, if he's not part of the long-term scheme of things, maybe you bring him up and he does well. And I hate to say it, and he does well, and he becomes a trade piece maybe. You don't know. You might get something for him, but just letting him sit down there and do well, I think it looks bad for the organization, for the
yep.
guys that want to play,
yep.
and for looking at what's up there and what's going on, that they know they could do at least that good or better. I'm interested on your thoughts, and let's get the right skipper in there.
Yeah. Very funny, Jeff.
Right,
yeah.
Jeff.
Tim Elko's time will come. It should be sooner rather than later.
His time has come, right?
Yeah,
I mean, listen.
If he's still in Charlotte next week,
yeah,
then something's amiss. Why would they not want somebody who can hit the ball out of the ballpark, regardless of his age, regardless of what it means to have a duplicate part at first base? There is a designated hitter for a reason. There's really no good reason why Tim Elko's still at AAA.
I agree. They've got 10 wins. Congratulations. They're on track to not be the worst team in baseball, but they're terrible.
They got shut out for the fourth time last night.
They got shut out last night.
Four times.
And they got a guy who's hitting home runs.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, what an awful look.
He should be in Kansas City by dinner.
Yeah. I'm not. He should be in Chicago by last week.
He should be in line for barbecue in Kansas City by 4 o'clock. Yes.
Barbecuing. Ken's on the Odyssey app. Hey, Ken, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, gentlemen. I had a couple of things with regards to the Cubs, one with respect to the bullpen and one with respect to third base. In the bullpen, is there any reason, and I do agree with Molly, this is something we have to fix. I think that's the number one priority. Is there any reason that Cade Horton can't be brought up and used as a bullpen piece first? And then if Imanaga isn't going to be coming back anytime soon, be moved into the starting rotation? Is that just, I don't know if that's crazy
right,
or not.
Right.
And then with the third base situation, if they're really holding that spot for Matt Shaw, it seems to me like they need to bring him up at least by June 1st and give him all the time he needs before the trade deadline to see whether or not he's the answer. And if he's not, then they need to figure out something else for third base. And the final thing I just want to say, Molly, with the way the Rockies are playing, the White Sox will have the worst team record for a year, and then it'll be the Rockies, and you won't ever have to talk about it again.
That'd be great. That would be great. The Rockies are on that path.
I don't wish that on anyone.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate the phone call.
And honestly, I really think like Major League Baseball should examine the Rockies, should take do some sort of forensic accounting as to what the hell's going on there, and do the same thing in Chicago. Look at the White Sox the same way, because you shouldn't allow that. You shouldn't allow people to put out teams that don't have a chance of winning.
Yeah.
And under the guise of a rebuild, you know, just trimming money, whatever the
I'm
hell
they're
doing.
I'm not sure what
doing.
They're doing in Colorado.
I'm not sure what
unhealthy.
They're doing on the South Side.
Yeah, and I think that's also
that's
true.
That's also unhealthy.
We know what they're trying to do in the South Side. It's just they're not able to execute
no.
it. Yeah. As for his other 2 points, they're really good points. With Matt Shaw, I think June 1st is a realistic expectation for when he should be back in Chicago in the Cubs lineup. And if he does not succeed this time around, and I think that he will, but then you have a different set of circumstances heading into the trade deadline when different people may be available who aren't available now. So that's a really good phone call and point.
Yeah.
As for Cade Horton in the bullpen, I don't think that's the role he should play now.
No, I think he's a starting pitcher.
He's a starter.
And I think that's why you drafted him, and that's what you hope for him. I just believe that, like, that idea isn't as awful as people think it is. And we talked about this. You know, baseball has changed, but in the old days, whether it's, you know, Burley or whomever, they start
Chris
out.
Chris Sale, Mark Burley. There's a long list of guys who started
Garrett
in the bullpen.
Crochet.
Those are the perfect.
Yes.
Those are the perfect scenarios. This
yes.
is not a perfect scenario.
No, this is not a perfect scenario.
And if
this
all
is
five,
your short two starting pitchers.
Yes.
He's a starter.
This is I don't want to say it is an emergency, but it is a crisis. When you lose two starting pitchers and they're your best two, that qualifies as a crisis in Major League Baseball. So you have a different set of circumstances. Under ideal circumstances, Cade Horton comes up. You use him in a spot here or there for two or three innings. You get him acclimated. He becomes accustomed to Major League lifestyle, the managing his anxiety, all those things. But this isn't perfect.
Does he have anxiety? Are you aware of that?
No. Everybody has anxiety okay. when they come to the majors. That's all
but
I'm suggesting.
Okay. I just
is that managing clarifying. Anxiety means, I don't mean that in the clinical sense. I don't mean okay. that in the individual, just him specifically.
Okay.
I think just naturally.
Just that is a role as a guy coming
you're
in.
You're a rookie.
Yes.
You're
going
to have natural anxiety and jitters and things that you
sure.
have to learn how to process before you can produce. And yeah. I think he's in the same situation as anybody else that would be coming up to the big leagues.
And that's kind of why I don't want him starting in New York. But maybe that is the best place for him, away from the crowd. Just do your work. Just, you know, get through this thing, and then we'll figure out the next one. Maybe you're right. Maybe you are.
It says everything about the state of the Crosstown Series and the difference between the two teams that you want him to start against the White Sox in Chicago to make his major league debut because you think that would be a more low-leverage situation than pitching against the Mets in New York.
Don't you agree with
it
that?
It should not be the case. I agree with that now, but that it just says that,
I mean, if we're talking about
Cubs and Sox should be the thing you want to avoid from an anxiety standpoint. That should be the rivalry that everybody relishes.
I mean, yeah,
but it's not. It's
no,
not.
No,
it's just,
not.
That's an aside. I'm sorry. I just when you said that,
it's
I'm
a
like,
fair aside. But
you're
I
like,
mean,
let's start him against our. Oh, it's like playing against the Iowa Cubs. Oh, here come the White Sox. We can coddle him and let him start that game.
The Sox can't even be the Charlotte White Sox because they won't bring him up. They won't bring up Tim Elko. What are you waiting for?
There's a lot of minor leaguers on that team.
I mean, it's not like a ton of professional players. You don't look at it and say, oh, that guy, well, you know he's going to produce. And they come up to bat as you watch them, and they didn't score a run, David. They got shut out again.
I noticed. That's the fourth time.
It's kind of bad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hard to win games when you can't score a bloody run.
Shane Smith deserved better.
Oh, my God, he sure did. Let's try Patrick. He's on the road. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, how are you guys? Great show. I'm also encouraged by Tim Elko and what he's doing there in AAA, but I think the White Sox are between a rock and a hard place here. You're looking at a former number one draft pick of theirs in Andrew Vaughn.
Yep.
What are you going to do if you bring up Elko and he starts to perform well? Vaughn just sits on a scrap heap and you get nothing for him. I think what they're trying to do, let Elko continue to develop and hopefully cross their fingers that Andrew Vaughn's going to start hitting, so maybe at the trade deadline they can get something for him.
I really
bring up Elko, maybe July or August.
I respect where you're coming from, and I think it's an understandable point to make. I don't think you have to be either or. They have a designated hitter. If you need to play, what's wrong with benching Andrew Vaughn anyway? You're not going to get anything for him.
Yeah, you're never going to get anything for him. I think the problem is, like, you watched that game yesterday, he was taking one pick after Bobby Witt Jr. He was the third pick in the draft. Wouldn't you look different if you had Bobby Witt Jr.? unbelievable,
you think?
Man. I think
And John
so.
Heyman went through the other guys who were picked after Andrew Vaughn yesterday.
He had the list in his
head.
He
had it like he memorized it. Like, I'm just coming to torment White Sox fans. Yeah. And he did a nice job of doing that.
It was difficult to hear. All right, 312-644-6767.
When we come back,
the
Bears' schedule is tougher than people think.
That's what I wanted to talk about. We'll get to that. The schedule release isn't out yet, but we know the teams they're playing, and we know what that means, and we will let you know how difficult the schedule looks before they've even lined up. And remember, this is a last-place schedule. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
I think I can go 10-7, but that's about as far as I can go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That's the guy that starts at 11-6. And he's going 10-7.
As long as he's being conservative here.
He's being careful this year.
Yeah, 10 wins.
Did you have 12 last year, I believe? 12-5?
Well, when did they sign that Ngakoue guy?
Yeah.
No, that never happened.
No.
And neither did the 12 wins. 12 losses?
I think I was at 11.
When you said 12, you meant losses, right?
No.
Okay.
So,
but I think 10 is realistic. The road schedule is really hard. I mean, it is.
We don't know.
Really
we don't know. Okay, so we know the opponents based on the results of last season.
Talking about the Bears' schedule.
Talking about the Bears' schedules. We know who they play. We know not when and what time.
But we will find that out May 14th.
And believe it or not, that is a very important. It's a big day. It's an important day because you got to schedule all the games. You got to figure out what your schedule is going to be. But it's also one of these things where you look at it and you say, if like you're playing every game at noon on Sunday, you're in a rhythm, you got everything going. If you're playing
they play Thursday night,
they're going to play Thursday night.
Well, you play
night,
two games in 10 days.
Yes.
You do that three times in a season.
Yes. And we'll
you're in trouble.
And so, for instance, you know, the home schedule, let's just talk about that quickly.
Okay.
Cleveland, Dallas, the Lions, the Packers, the Vikings, the New Orleans Saints, the New York Giants, and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Okay, Pittsburgh's a good example. What if they sign Aaron Rodgers? Doesn't he
different
own
team.
Chicago?
He owns the Bears.
Yes.
Not Chicago. He owns part of the Bears.
He's a Bears owner.
He's a minority owner. Yeah, I think
and
he is that.
If he comes in with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, then that's a different story. That's a different L or W.
Well, that's.
I think if I'm checking, okay, you're beating the Browns right now. Just glance.
Sure.
You're beating the Browns. You're beating the Cowboys. You're losing to the Lions. You probably got to beat the Packers. You cannot go 0-2 against the Flower, not after calling them out. So you're going to beat the Packers at Soldier Field. Okay, Vikings, give me an eh. I'll wait on that one. You got to beat the Saints.
You got to beat the Saints.
You got to beat the Giants. And the Steelers depends on if it's Kirk Cousins, Mason Rudolph, or Aaron Rodgers.
But I could jump in really quick, and it just
Please
did
do.
6-2 on the home record. 6-2.
I'm saying conservatively 5-3.
Yeah, 5-3.
Five and three.
Okay, but you would say 5, so that makes sense.
We're not that far apart.
You would say 5-3. I would say 6-2.
We don't.
You say
yet,
tomato.
No.
I say tomato.
We, you know, like games that look like you're going to win going away. You don't know if you're coming off a Thursday.
You don't
night
know injuries too.
Of course,
injuries.
Yeah,
of course.
What if the agency? What if the agency has to open against the Steelers?
No. Don't.
I'm just saying
that. There is no. You know,
Case Keenum.
Yeah, exactly.
Would that mean that? Would
Who
that
asked
mean
you?
That, would that mean that QB1 has a hamstring?
Could be. Why are you wishing injuries on people?
Now the
five
road,
and three at
the,
home.
The road right. schedule. The road schedule.
Yeah, that's tougher.
The Baltimore Ravens.
Without Justin Tucker, by the way, football reasons.
Oh, I mean, yeah. Legal reasons,
Anybody
too.
Buying that?
That it's all football reasons?
Yeah.
No, the guy's the most accurate kicker in NFL history.
It's just amazing that Ravens are actually doing the right thing.
I'm going with they decided to do the right thing because all the massage therapists have made accusations.
16 of them at last count.
It's 16?
16 and counting.
I don't know how you explain it away.
No, I don't think
That's
you do.
That's not one or two.
That statement was a little, come on.
Yeah, that always
implausible.
Football,
anyway, we don't want to get off track here. The Ravens, I don't think you're winning in Baltimore. Not against that team.
No.
Okay, that's an L.
Cincinnati Bengals. Bengals.
You're going to score 40 points against the Bengals. Okay. They can't stop anybody.
They might score 45.
They can't stop a runny nose.
They can score. They've got the quarterback.
You're beating the Bengals.
Okay.
You're beating the Bengals.
Fair enough.
If you're as good as the Bears as we say that they are, we're talking about them all, you better beat the Bengals.
Detroit Lions. Again, these are not in any kind of order. These are the teams they're playing.
I don't think you're beating the Lions next year.
Green Bay Packers. You got a quarterback that owns that stadium.
He does. Seth Rollins will be there. They'll be fired up. He's going to be
Caleb
on the sidelines.
They should have him introduce the whole team.
They should be in the booth. He should be in the booth for that
game.
Chicago. Wherever that is. But I don't know if they're winning that game, Molly. I don't like that.
Difficult at Green Bay. The Las Vegas Raiders.
You're going to Vegas and you're winning. Chicagoans like to go to Vegas and win big, and that's what the Bears are going to do.
The Bears will own a hotel by the time they're done.
They're going to Circa. They're going to ignore the huge screen. They're going to ignore the fun of the pool, and they're going to still win a football game.
Can we plant our flag in the sand now that we need
go to Vegas?
We need Bears Raiders. Right? Didn't another show do Bears Raiders?
We need to go.
We need Bears.
Yes,
Raiders. This show needs Bears Raiders.
We need to go to Vegas and unleash Vegas Haw.
And how about I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to get anybody in trouble. This show needs Bears.
Let's go.
All right, Bears Raiders. We're going to Vegas, and they're going to see a Bears victory.
I want some trouble.
Keep going.
By May 14th, we'll know the date.
I will be happy to roll the bones in Vegas.
Vegas Haw! Vegas Haw!
Okay, thank you. I shouldn't have said that. No, yeah, roll the bones. That's funny.
The Minnesota Vikings.
You got to win a game in the division you're not supposed to win.
Yeah.
You've got to, right?
Yeah, hey, you know what? Honest to God, you should be able to beat the Lions. You should be able to beat Minnesota and Green Bay.
Well,
you got to beat all the teams in your division if you want to win.
One of these road games, you've got to win. So either Lions or Vikings, you got to have a check mark there. So that's another victory. You got to win that one.
I don't know, man. I think that the problem is they really improved their defense. And what is JJ?
The Vikings scare me.
The Vikings could be real good.
The Vikings could have the best defense in football.
And they got a young quarterback.
Who is only going to have to be a manager.
Who only has to be a game manager, has done that to a national title in college, and has...
He's a winner.
He's got a quarterback whisperer.
He does.
He has a guy that can calm him down and take it easy.
He made Sam Darnold a Pro Bowl quarterback.
He's got Justin Jefferson. Yeah. Hey, look, they're having their trailing technique. They're
Jordan Addison, too. Don't sleep on Jordan Addison.
No, they're too.
They got a great tight end.
Me.
Yeah, so I wonder about that. But you got to be in one of those two games. So let's
They're not in order. But you're going to Philadelphia.
You're not beating the Eagles.
You're going to choke down one of those horrible sandwiches.
You don't have to. You don't have to eat a cheesesteak.
I think you're required.
You're not required
to eat a cheesesteak. Late night cheesesteak is
no,
a requirement.
I think not.
You're going to the Washington Commanders.
And you're going to beat them. You're going to beat them because they ruined your season.
Yes.
You're going to beat them because they did the Fail Mary on your watch last year, and they got Matt Eberflus fired.
They
changed the course of your entire year.
Yep.
They ruined Caleb Williams' comeback. They did all the things to you, and so you're going to go in there, and you're going to beat them. You better.
Then there's also a game in San Francisco.
Love that stadium.
Love that city.
Love that city.
I do too.
I think that if we don't go to Vegas, we're going to Frisco.
Based on what I gave you, look at where the 49ers are at. This is what's interesting.
Yeah,
in this
we're getting to that. That's what we're getting to. We're getting to that right now. So we're just telling you the teams they play.
One, two,
and so you
three,
what you
four.
Do?
I got 9 wins.
Okay, you got 9 wins. That's what you're looking for. And last season's results. That's not the best way to figure out how good a team is. You got to look at what they've done because teams change dramatically, as the Bears have.
Mm-hmm.
But after that busy offseason, the fine folks at the Sporting News put together a strength of schedule. They claim their belief is that the Giants, the New York Football Giants, have the most difficult schedule in the NFL.
Which makes me laugh.
Because their opponents were 574 a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So their opponents were over 500 if you combine all their records. The next worst schedule in the NFL is a draw. It's a tie. The
toughest one.
It is the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And guess who the other team is? You know who it is.
Yeah, dude, it's the Bears.
It's the Chicago Football Bears.
I can't believe that.
They have the second most difficult schedule in the NFL, according to the Sporting News.
So this is computed by the opponent's winning percentage from 2024.
Yeah.
This has to be a product of the Bears' non-conference schedule being tougher than we thought, as well as the division being the best in football, right?
Yes.
So as a result, the Bears, by virtue of the Sporting News and these calculations, have the second hardest schedule in the National Football
NFL.
League.
Okay.
That isn't great. Even though they hoisted the imaginary banner for the offseason championship that they just won.
They just won it?
They just won it. This doesn't
they are,
really...
They are, without question. Let's be honest.
Let's be honest here.
They're the offseason champion.
Yeah.
They got the coach.
They got the coach.
They gave the coach the money.
They rebuilt their offensive line.
They rebuilt that offensive line.
They won the draft in many people's minds.
They got the more playmakers to the playmaker list.
Luther Burden III.
They've got everything they need other than a running back.
Colston Loveland, what's not to love?
Maybe a defensive end. But unless they get caught up, maybe a left tackle. They've got everything.
You make it sound so easy. We have made it sound so easy. The enthusiasm for the Bears is, dare I say, similar to what it was a year ago this time.
And the Niners that Dustin mentioned, that is the easiest schedule in the NFL. Their opponents a year ago were 4-15.
They're going to need it because I think they're going to take a step backward.
Well, part of why their schedule looks so easy is they host the Bears. Because, you know, the Bears are we talk about the imaginary offseason, but the Bears are one of those teams that was awful last year. And they we're talking about a moderate improvement to a winning club.
They were 5-12. We have them winning 9 games.
Yes.
Going from 5-9, difficult. That's not moderate. That's dramatic.
But if
that's a dramatic improvement.
That means, for what I'm saying is, a team like San Francisco that mm-hmm. had opponents that were awful, that were as bad as the Bears were a year ago,
mm-hmm.
they now face a Bears team that has turned its fortunes and is a winning team, in our opinion, after going through that schedule.
Yeah, we'll say wait and see about that.
Okay.
And as we sit here and break down the schedule, and it's a lot of fun, next Wednesday it's going to be even more fun, or next Wednesday night it comes out,
yes.
we'll be breaking it down and making
yes.
our predictions on Thursday morning. I think that...
It's a good reminder for the plan.
I'm reminding you now because
yes.
you kind of live with predictions. You don't like to make too sudden of decisions. So I'm bracing you now for that. For the prediction will be next Thursday, I believe.
Yes.
There'll
yes.
be a pick six question.
Which will Thursday. Be, now that the Bears schedule, how yeah. are they going to... You know,
I still
reaction.
Feel... We'll map out who they beat and who they don't.
I saw this on Twitter, and I wanted to talk about it. Matt Bowen, who was highly respected...
Love Matt Bowen.
...said he feels pretty good about the Bears' running back room, and they don't need to add from the outside. I totally disagree with that, and I usually agree with Matt Bowen's football sensibilities. I think they're a running back shy of having a running game that gives them the ability to think that it's good enough to set up their play-action passing game, which they desperately need.
Well, they've got to get that set up. That's period, end of story. They need play-action if they're going to operate under center. The Bears have a long way to go.
They do.
But he's saying, I you know, here's the problem. I'm not really a DeAndre Swift guy. As you may know.
I know that.
I worry that a guy coming back from a concussion is going to be injured again. I'm not sure how to feel about him.
About Roschon Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I worry okay. about him. Just because I care. They got a 7th-round rookie. And that, to me, if you're going into a season thinking that a rookie from the 7th round is your starter.
Kyle Manung guy.
It's crazy.
He's a good guy.
I think he's good. I think they got a value pick there. I don't know that I believe he can make an impact in the league.
We'll break and talk about this. Florio is next. But Matt Bowen, I would go to camp with the current Bears running back room. Why you practice and compete? If you still need an answer in mid-August, there will be available running backs to sign.
I'd sign someone now.
I'd do it now.
Yeah, but that's good.
J.K. Dobbins, come on down.
I always love Matt. We got Mike Florio next. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Mike Florio, ProFootballTalk.com, NBC Sports, Twitter.com/ProFootballTalk.
Day by day!
Day by day!
We get better and better!
We get better and better!
We get beat!
NFL insider Mike Florio with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Mike Florio joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Mike, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
We're fired up, and I got to tell you, I just keep laughing at this story about Abdul Carter and the guy trying to get retired numbers. He wanted number 56, and they just said a flat-out no. And then Phil Simms says, well, you know what? He wore 11. He could wear my number if he wants to, and he gets all excited. I'll wear it. It's an honor.
No.
And then Phil says, nah, the family said no. So that number's off, and then he texts out, well, I'm not sure. Maybe I'll just have a jersey with my name on it, but and no number. And he said he was joking. He's an honor to play football. You can't ask people for their numbers. The numbers are retired for a reason.
Read the room.
I kind of feel bad for him.
Well, and look, my general position is there should be no retired numbers, because at some point you run out of numbers, especially with up to 90 guys in uniform during the preseason and 53, obviously, in the regular season. But if you're going to retire numbers, you've got to stick to it. It completely cheapens and undermines the honor if you reissue numbers. I think the teams need to be the gatekeepers here and say, no, we're not issuing the number. It's not a question of whether or not the former player is willing to do it. You need your own number. And there's two different aspects to this. One is the Peyton Manning angle. He's one of the guys that went from one team to another after more than a decade with the Colts, goes to the Broncos. Frank Trpucka's number 18 had been retired decades earlier. Trpucka and his family allowed Manning to wear the number. Established player, Hall of Famer, okay, that's one thing. But now you see teams issuing these retired numbers to rookies, like Malik Nabers. He's wearing Ray Flaherty's number one with the Giants already. And the Giants willing to participate in this effort to get Phil Simms to give up number 11. Joe Shane, the GM, called Phil and talked to him about it. So Phil was willing to do it. And he really didn't get outvoted by his family. His wife and daughter, who were outnumbered by Phil and his two sons, the wife and daughter vetoed this. They got very, very passionate about it. And I think at the end of the day, Phil did what the Giants should have done. The Giants should be saying to these guys, no. And why would you want to do it? Look at this way. If you end up being a great player who has a career worthy of, wait for it, having your jersey retired, what happens? Does number 11 go back on the shelf for Phil Simms and Abdul Carter? That's not a favor to Phil Simms.
Yeah, make your own legacy. That's silly. Well put, Mike. So when you look at the Steelers, where are they in their determination about who's going to play quarterback? Kirk Cousins or Aaron Rodgers? Which are they closer to?
They're waiting for Aaron Rodgers. And Art Rooney, the owner of the team, had some comments on the second day of the draft that I think got overlooked because of the whole Shedeur Sanders and Shedeur Sanders prank call with a twist of Bill Belichick lunacy that overtook the news cycle last week. The Steelers, through Rooney, said, we believe he wants to be here. I think it's just a matter of time. And I was told before the draft by someone in position to know, and I know Aaron Rodgers prides himself on no one ever knows what he's really thinking. Someone in position to know said, Rodgers to Pittsburgh is happening. We just don't know when. And at this point, I've been suggesting just wait until the schedule comes out so they can't go back and throw a few more early season, short week, primetime games onto the Steelers like they did last year. Remember last year, Mike North, who puts the schedule together, said the Jets owe us one? You don't want the Steelers. What is that? See, I'm trying to figure out what causes these effects. The air quotes causes confetti. Anyway, you don't want to have a schedule that jerks you all over the place. And Art Rooney doesn't like home primetime games anyway. So let's just wait. We're 8 days away from the schedule coming out. After the schedule is out, then Rodgers can announce what he's going to do. And the NFL has to assume the risk that they're going to schedule a lot of primetime games featuring Mason Rudolph. So I think that at this point, it makes sense to wait until after the 14th. The OTAs start on the 27th of the month. That would be a good time for him to show up, get to know his teammates, and get ready to go. But the thing with Rodgers is nobody ever knows what he's ultimately going to do until he does it. But the Steelers think he wants to be there. And given their movements so far, it seems that they're planning for him. I think Cousins is a remote fallback. And even then, I'm not sure that they're interested in an aging quarterback who may not have his most important skills available to him. They just lived that with Russell Wilson. I don't think they want to do that again with Kirk Cousins. At least Rodgers can still rifle the ball with the flick of a wrist.
Mike, we got about 30 seconds left. Can you give us a synopsis of what's going on with North Carolina and Bill Belichick and his girlfriend?
Well, look, this book tour, and I think Belichick came to the table for his book tour thinking the same way he's always thought about the media. When he was coach of the Patriots, the media needed him far more than he needed the media, and he was very combative and secretive. He didn't want to say anything that was going to compromise his team. When you're selling a book and the book comes out today, you need the media more than the media needs you. The media can cover all sorts of things. CBS didn't have to do a Bill Belichick interview, and the way they phrased their statement last week responding to Belichick, it's clear they agreed to do it. They didn't have to do it. He needs to understand, if you're going to sell the book, you've got to play the game. And you can't harumph, and you can't be Bill Belichick at a New England Patriots press conference with holes in your shirt. And we're not going to answer questions like, how did you meet your girlfriend who's here and involved with everything? So I think he's badly misplayed what it means to do a book tour. And as Peter King made the point recently on the Richard Deitch podcast, if you're not willing to do that, then don't sell a book. Don't do it, because that is part and parcel of having a book. You have to publicize the book. You can't act like you did for 24 years as New England's head coach when you're trying to court the media to help you sell your book.
Great point.
Great
Thanks, Mike.
Stuff, Mike. Thank you very much. See you, buddy. That's Mike Florio. We got Lance Brodzowski next. It's Mullion Haw on the Score.